such an honor to be here with all of you and be part of what I'm hoping is a wake-up call for all of us, because it's been a long time coming, and it's time for us to stand up. I'm Juliana. I'm with Our Wisconsin Revolution. I'm the co-chair of the Dane County chapter, and I'm here with Annette, who's going to speak.
Well, Juliana and I both had prepared comments, and I kind of feel like maybe we should throw those away, maybe not. I do want to thank Linda. I want to thank both Linda and Brandy for mentioning the jail, the Derail the Jail effort, which OWR was part of that coalition, and I know there are other people here that were part of that coalition, so thank you for bringing up a local political issue. And Juliana and I are both going to be talking a little bit about politics. But first, let me ask you all a question. How many of you read the news every day? Okay, you're putting me to shame, because frankly, I don't quite have the stomach for it every day. The news is so bad, it just gets worse, I have to take a break. But I'm also very, very aware that when that happens, when the news is so bad that people can't read it, they start feeling powerless, they become disengaged from what's going on around them, and sadly, they also just stop voting and stop caring. In the 2016 general election, the percentage of people who voted, who were eligible to vote, was only 58% of the population, which is way below other industrialized countries in the world. And if you think that's bad, consider that in last year's local elections in Wisconsin, the voter turnout was 16%. So when people say all politics is local, think about that. Think about getting involved where you live, where we live, about issues like the jail and other issues, housing issues, and so on and so forth. OWR was born a year ago. We want to energize citizens. One of the other panelists called out for who is a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party. Thank you for outing me, because I joined last year with hopes of transforming that party. I'm not sure that will happen. I still have hope. Our Wisconsin Revolution really does want people to be engaged and not treat people like donors, which is what the political party does, political parties do. We want to encourage progressives to run for office. We want to push our elected representatives to stand up for solid progressive values. The other thing we want to do is elect candidates that will pledge, that will take a pledge, to sponsor legislation that matches those values, not the values of corporate interests. So thank you, Will, for talking about holding politicians accountable. We need to do that. We can't just say, it's okay, you're more liberal, you're the lesser of two evils, we'll vote for you. We need to say, if we voted for you, we expect you to start sponsoring some legislation that represents what we voted you for. So Juliana and I are team tagging on this, so it's your turn.
Okay. Thanks, Annette. So Our Wisconsin Revolution is really trying to basically get beyond the two-party system that many of us worry has dragged us down and taken a lot of energy out of politics, because after all, as a bunch of folks said, you know, like it or not, the politicians are the ones making the decisions about taxes, about education, about all of the issues that are impacting us. So as we see it, we want to be part of that process. We want to be organizing people. We want to be back to a vision of politics that's really putting people first rather than focusing on getting in touch with people by polling them, as though that's like a way to really understand what people are thinking about and listening, as Brandy was saying. So Our Wisconsin Revolution is a new organization. We want to be humble about that and about how we're entering into a really crowded, exciting world of organizations that have been working hard for many, many years. But if you let us, we are really excited to try to be that big tent that is bringing people together from a range of different perspectives and crafting a unified narrative together. So we've been working on a platform together that's bringing together that vision of what we stand for, despite all of the real structural and other obstacles that we have, including systemic racism, including the structural obstacle of operating within a capitalist system. But we are interested in tackling economic inequality and poverty head on. And just real quick, Wisconsin is doing terribly on all of these indicators as well. We know how bad things are overall, but in Wisconsin right now, 1 in 6 children in Wisconsin are living in poverty. When you think about African-American kids, that number jumps up to 40% of African-American kids are experiencing conditions of poverty. Middle-class households are in trouble, too. In Wisconsin, in the past 20 years, middle-class households have experienced the biggest dip nationwide in earnings. And the top 1% in Wisconsin, hooray, are living high and paying the lowest rate of state and local taxes compared to anyone else in the state. So we are ready to tackle these issues and get a new generation of people in office who is willing to fight for what we see as the issues that really matter to everyday working people. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much to all of our panelists, and you'll have a chance to hear a lot more from them in the breakout sessions. You all did tremendously well, by the way. We're right on time of where we thought we would be at this point in the evening. Before Tim divides everybody into groups, and remember the division is going to be based on the color of the piece of paper you randomly received as you came in, a couple of quick announcements. This group, Building Unity, has another event coming up February 10th in Stevens Point, a thing like this tonight, but different because it'll be somewhere else with different people. And another one on February 24th right here, again in this space, and that will be kind of moving forward from the two previous events, that is the Madison and the Stevens Point. And then we're looking at doing one in Milwaukee as well, probably around the first weekend of March, still to be confirmed. The other thing is Nate mentioned his Grassroots Festival, the 10th Annual Grassroots Festival, coming up on Saturday, March 24th in Mazo at the Wisconsin Heights High School. And that's going to be a great time to see grassroots speakers talking about a lot of these issues as well. Also, right here in this space on Sunday, February 4th at 2 p.m., Takiya Thompson is going to be speaking. She was the first of 8 activists arrested in 2017 by the Durham, North Carolina police after organizing with the community to remove a racist Confederate statue. So she'll be here right where I'm standing, I think, at 2 p.m. on Sunday the 4th, which is a week from now. There you go. And then one last thing. We mentioned Russ over there with his wonderful chai and hot chocolate, but he also has all these beautiful hand-decorated cups, which he's giving away for free, and he would love it if you would take some of them. And we also have lots of food left, so please grab some food as well. Tim Corden is going to figure out how we coordinate these groups.
What we want you to do is talk about your ideas about how we can unite. Hopefully what brought you here was the idea that maybe it's time to stop the intersectionality that keeps us divided. How do we make this movement more diverse? How do we make this movement everybody's issues are at the table? So think about ideas about how we can pull each other together, and then we're gonna take the highlights from your group in the next half hour, bring them back here. Pick someone from your group who will share them. We'll get them up on butcher paper around the room. We'll take this information back, and it'll help the steering committee and any of you that want to get involved in Stevens Point back here in 4 weeks, in Milwaukee in 5 weeks, or however this unfolds.
So if everybody could come in and take your seats. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask a representative of each of the groups to come up and give us a quick summary of what your group did. And you'll bring with you the sheet that you wrote on. Who would like to go first? Okay. So bring your sheet up here and put it on the green wall and take the microphone here and tell us the highlights of your talk. So start like all the way down at that end and then we'll work our way up. And the microphone is down there. Okay, so the first group, what color was your piece, was your little scrap of paper?
It's funny you say that. We had a hodgepodge of folks. Who showed up is who showed up. Had a really nice intergenerational mix of folks, younger folks, older folks. I hope I'm not offending anybody saying that. But yes, we had Tom Boswell, Betsy, Dorothy Krause, Jen, Beth from Indivisible, Linda from Indivisible, Grace Valentine, Jeannie, and Mary. We had folks who are both, you know, been involved for a long time. Like I said, some folks are involved in different groups, and some folks are saying, I'm here for the first time, I'm here to listen. So it was a really great balance of different experience levels as well, but everybody adding to the pot of ideas. So what we did is we went around the circle first, just kind of collecting some initial thoughts and impressions about what we can do better as a community. And so we have things like creating something that includes and unites us all. How do we build a platform values as a community? Bringing together the politically homeless, listening and understanding. One really good idea, organizing a common calendar. There's so many different events that are happening, and what does it look like to actually come together and have synchronicity around when something is happening and moving our bodies and sending our folks to those different things? Beth gave a good example about what that looked like during the healthcare fight when you had five different events happening throughout the week. Well, what would it have looked like for one big event where we all, as a community, come together around healthcare? So some really good ideas about how we can improve our synergy together as a community. What we ended on, and this all went by really quick, so what we ended on, and Tom, thank you so much for facilitating and putting out these questions. What can we improve upon in collaboration? And then what strengths can we build upon as well? So I'll list these top five for us. That's about what we had time for. Politics and elections are important. What Linda really helped make clear for us is we have a lot of big ideas. We're reaching for the sky, but we're not quite in power yet. So that's why a political and electoral strategy is going to be really important so that we can get these ideas and items done. And you want me to pause right there? Okay. more listening and compassion for each other. Groups need to come together and identify priorities, critique and offer solution-based strategies. And then finally, and Beth said this, little actions, daily actions lead to big actions. You never know what you can impact. So, all right, thank you all.
So somebody had a very good idea, which is all the groups can bring your sheets up now and put them on the wall. That'll probably be easier. Who has this sheet right here? Whose sheet is this one? It starts out, communicate across silos, mobilize voters. Which group is that? Come on up and talk about your group.
All right, so a lot of things came up in our group from getting police removed from Madison Metropolitan School District, some initiatives that are arising in Madison Metropolitan School District as it relates to teachers needing or organizing around feeling safe, but we know that's kind of racial tone language there. ICE raids and farms, how to protect people and immigrants, what to do, how to respond, voting stuff, climate change, and I can't even say this word, anti-austerity. And I can't remember what it meant either. And we just had the whole conversation in our group.
Budget cutting that's being advocated.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what it meant. Okay. Okay, thank you for that. I have a new word. I learned something today. Thank you for that. So climate change, information gap, model of persuasion, deep canvassing, whether it's voting or democratic processes, find a way of discussing things that reach beyond boundaries, base building, organizing. So some of the key points that we walked away with, as all of these things are related to education and communication, right? Like a lot of times, farmers are voting not in their own for their own selves, right? They're voting against themselves, in other words, right? When you vote for immigration laws that remove folks, you're removing your own labor. And people don't even know that, right? Like, so we're like, we need to be able to engage in conversations about how anti-Black policies, anti-immigration policies impact, how it impacts farmers in rural areas, right? We need to be able to have conversations about how important public education is, and also how do we create alternatives to public education, right? Like, because it's not working and public education is failing a majority of Black and brown kids, right? So how do we include those conversations in the conversations, right? Communication, education, and building like this overarching umbrella, and then assigning people work groups and then coming back together and making sure each work group is working from the frame or lens of intersectionality. Thank you.
Okay, who has this one here?
Hi, I'm Ted. I was in the group led by Juliana and the OWR folks, and we talked a lot about, first thing we talked about getting younger people involved, education, figuring out, kind of in the sense of education, not just like, oh, these are what the issues are, these are how they affect you, but talking about teaching people how to, defining the vocabulary, creating a shared vocabulary for all of us to use to define our oppressors, to identify who we are as the oppressed, and how we can change, how we can enact real change by building the relationships that build power. Returning to deep organizing, Juliana brought up about how thinking about how the New Deal movement, how we got lots of change there by organizing a bunch of people and getting them to hold those in power accountable. Building community forums to educate people in politics and overcome apathy. Apathy is a big problem. A lot of people, we're not just talking about, well, people across the spectrum feel like the system's not accountable to them, so they don't vote. And we need to create an accountable, to create an accountable system, we need to start with being able to put trust in our community to create the infrastructure that our politicians and our leaders are then accountable to. Anything else? And thanks to James for doing a lot of discussion and framing about where the oppression comes from and how we need to be approaching this.
Okay, this one over here.
Okay, we were the light blue group with Will, who unfortunately had to leave. But I just want to bring out one of the central themes of our conversation that I think hasn't been talked about a lot already by the other groups, which is we had a real like push and pull between how to make an inclusive movement, but also how to include yourself in a movement. So we started by talking about how the importance of making spaces and opportunities accessible to people, both in terms of people with disability, but also in terms of people who may just not feel comfortable in a space for whatever reason. And connected with that is this idea of putting marginalized people in leadership roles and paying them so that we're not only putting people in leadership roles who can afford to work for free or spend their time in that way. So really asking ourselves, you know, who's not at the table, why that is, and how we can change those spaces to get those people at the table whose voices we're not always hearing. Finding ways to find commonality. At the same time, something that came up was trying not to find reasons to not be involved with a movement. So Will brought up the example of Reverend Barber and the Poor People's Campaign, and people who may feel that that movement is not for them because they're not people of faith and don't feel comfortable in a space like that. And so his point was to not look at a particular group or a particular movement and say, why can't this include me? But rather to say, like, what commonality could I find with these people that would let me come into that space? So really that push and pull between, like, making sure you're including yourself in things that are maybe a little outside your comfort zone, but also opening up your own spaces to be more comfortable for others. And then the last thing that I wanna say that was kind of connected with that was we were talking about a little about the word progressive and an alternative being a statement of shared values. And one idea that came out of that was that it may be useful to have a statement of shared values, but that some tension with that can also be useful, and that one of the ways we can find growth and hold our movements accountable is by having some diversity of opinion and, you know, avoiding saying, like, to be a part of this movement, you have to share all of these values. And so I just want to, you know, close with saying that, like, that I think that was the biggest theme in our group was that tension between, you know, having a pluralistic movement that can be open to a lot of different kind of people and also having spaces that can be shared by everyone.
So now that we have all the charts up on the wall, I'm going to give you warning that we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4 with these last ones. So who's got this blue one right here?
Hey, I'm Vicky. I was in the group with Linda Ketchum, and I'm not going to name the other people because I forgot everybody's names, and that's my problem. We kind of had a hodgepodge discussion and didn't really come up with, well, we decided that we didn't know the answers, but we had some things that resonated with us, and we did have some ideas. So we kind of talked about how we need to have a sustainable movement, and some of those things... elements that we need for that are fun or rewarding ways to encourage the base, meaning, I mean, you don't always have to have fun, but this is all pretty grim stuff, you know, and people get tired of the grimness and they're like, I can't deal with this anymore, or they're not attracted to, you know, so you have to have some, at least some small victories and celebrations and things that make people want to be involved. So that was one idea. Nurturing the movement and nurturing the actions in a way that power doesn't become entrenched and keeping it non-hierarchical. And that's going to be a challenge, but it's, I think, really important because you know how things kind of move into someone takes power and people let them and then suddenly it goes off in some other direction. Being open to new possibilities that technology affords us and being creative. Focusing on the most impacted was something people really felt was important, and that by focusing on that, it was said earlier that you focus on the needs of the most impacted and we meet the needs of everybody else, and I think that's really true, and we agreed that. And we also agreed that we needed organization and we need organizers, but we don't need to have organizers who are already trained and white and know how to do it, but we need to develop and help develop organizers who are the people who are impacted. So that's as far as we got.
Okay, and we only have about 10 more minutes of work to do here. I know we promised you all you'd be out here by 9, but it'll be awful darn close. The Red Group.
Well, we started off with a joke because we ended up being all sorts of colors of things. So we said we needed color coordination, which then led to we need multicultural understanding. We need to listen to one another. We talked about having 50%, over 50% of people to vote, and women are 50%. Of over 50% of the population. So we were looking at commonalities as much as anything. And one person said, why don't we have the evangelicals? I mean, what would Jesus do? you know, they're not following those. So I think we need to get some sort of, we discussed some sort of possibilities of pulling people in. And then there are a whole pile of organizations that are already doing a lot of things, and our energies are divided by all little organizations who are doing lots of other things. Why can't we already pull together and work together and stop the donor fatigue that's already going and build enough power to make something to follow so that people will want to follow it rather than dividing and conquering? That's, I think, about it.
This one.
Hi, so our group is really focused on what we could do to kind of keep unity across the left and create a kind of broader base of people who are working together towards our common goals. So a lot of it relates to a similar idea, which is first that we kind of exist in a community, a web community, something that is not centralized, but that can exist even when you take away an individual strand, something where a powerful message will reverberate throughout the entire web. And the way that we make that stronger is by focusing on relationships and having robust communication networks and strong like dispersion, but also high levels of connectedness. And I think that's really important, and I think we all agree that it's really important to have something like that in order for the left to work together, for us not to be crippled when we lose someone who could potentially be a leader. It needs to be grassroots, it needs to be dispersed, it needs to be connected, and it should be based on relationships. A good way to do that is by building coalitions around existing issues, organizing together, bringing people in different groups together, and by working together to organize, you form relationships, you improve everyone's ability to organize in your practice in dealing with these issues, you improve intersectionality, communication, you build relationships that, again, make the web stronger and robust. Another important thing in terms of kind of how we go about doing this is kind of re-emphasizing the idea that we should follow existing movements and existing organizations that are already dealing with things and not trying to start our own, not trying to lead, but instead looking at the people who are already being very marginalized, being very impacted by the existing issues that we have in our society, and following their lead and following the framework that they've already put forward and building on what they've done instead of trying to reinvent the wheel every time. Our one kind of concrete thing is, tell me if I get this wrong, Mind 40? The Back 40 Mine is a great way to take a group that is kind of one of the, arguably, the basis of disempowerment in America, and the building of America was based on the genocide of the indigenous people. So taking them, putting them at the center, and following them, and building a robust movement around defending their lands as is right and just would be a good step forward, and that's our suggestion.
And our last group.
All right. So we were with the group over there, and Nate Tim was our connector from this panel. And of course, he's very passionate about his work with the Rural Caucus. And so we spent most of our time talking about this, what some people would call the divide between the rural and the urban communities, and I find it, when we all talked, I mean, a lot of these things that have been said resonated, that it's really about, you know, connecting people to people, finding out what people care about, realizing that our issues in the rural communities connect with issues in urban communities as well, that there is crossover, but that there are some places that we can look to as where organizing efforts are already going on between among the rural communities, and particularly the Power Up movement that Nate is talking about, UW Extension, Food, Faith, and Farming. I was talking about an effort in the Kickapoo Valley called Kickapoo Conversations, and all of these are trying to find people and connecting people to talk to each other and find out what their issues are. Sometimes it takes going into a community to just get those connections started, find out who the influential people are and bring them together and have them start talking about what it is in their communities that they care about, and then finding out where we can fit in to what they care about, and to realize that we really probably care about a lot of the same things. We did talk a little bit about the role of limited broadband access in some places and the role of social media, and that there are ways for us to connect to our rural brothers and sisters.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for all of this hard work. And I know that there's a lot of things that we did not cover tonight. There's many, many people that did not speak on the panel, and there's many, many issues that we haven't discussed. I want to just mention a couple of things real quick, and then I want to open the floor for about 3 minutes for a couple of quick questions. But we want to say, in terms of shared visions that was mentioned, there is a statement, the statement that brought us all together tonight. The objective of this event is to bring unity and focus to our movement for peace, justice, grassroots democracy, and sustainability. Whatever we end up doing as a movement, whether it's putting on forums, teach-ins, holding sit-ins, lobbying our elected officials, launching social media campaigns, boycotting, divesting, striking, registering voters, etc., whatever we do, we will do it better and with far greater impact if we organize and focus and do it together. And I think that tonight was a very good example of that. So thanks to everybody who made this night possible. Also, there's those forms that you started to fill out that are in different colors. Make sure to finish filling those out. And then I think Charles is going to collect them. Is that right? And enter your comments and stuff into a spreadsheet so that we can kind of like crowdsource this information. There is a Facebook page for this group. Also wanted to mention, we've touched on the issue of electoral politics. It's of course one of the tools in our toolbox. It's not the only tool in our toolbox, but we did have a number of current and former elected officials in the audience tonight. And as the saying goes, thank you for your service, all of you. Also, we had a couple of candidates here tonight. I think they both had to leave, but Kelda Helen Royce, who's running for governor, was here, and also Marilyn Townsend, who's running for judge, was here with us, so thank you very much. And as Bob mentioned to me earlier, one of the things that we really didn't emphasize was the issue of registering voters. I mentioned it in that statement there, but you know, the voter turnout is a huge factor in accomplishing our ends. And as we know, here in Wisconsin, there's a big Supreme Court case on gerrymandering, which is going to be decided. Unfortunately, it's probably not going to be announced before sometime in June at this point, which means the ability of that, whatever the decision is, to affect our elections this fall is slipping away from us. But that's that. Let me say one other thing, which is we're here in a church. James Reeb Unitarian Universalist Congregation has welcomed us here. And because we're in a church, we can't leave without doing a collection. And I know Tim has some baskets prepared. And so we're going to pass those baskets around to collect some funds to support this ongoing work. And Brandy has something to say.
Yes. Speaking of funds, the purpose of the baskets going around is to support me, actually. So I just wanted to say a couple words around that. I wish I would have came up when the room was more crowded, because it's kind of empty at this point. So what I asked him and I asked others to do anytime I'm invited to a space is that folks donate. Donate because, one, I don't get paid to do the work that I do in my community. Everything that I do, thing that I do is free. And it's because I don't belong to a specific organization, nor do I belong to a nonprofit organization, and nor do I collect a salary. So everyone that was, the majority of everyone sitting at the table collect a salary to be at the table. And in order for us to paradigm shift, we again must understand the importance of centering those that are most disenfranchised, right? So if I'm sitting at the table and everyone else is getting paid and I'm not getting paid, then that equates exploitation, right? and we talk about that. So that's why we're sending the basket around. It is specifically for me. So reach in your pockets and give all that you can. I, again, live completely off donations. I have three kids. As I told him, my monthly income is $1,200. That is what I live off of with all three of my babies, or a total of four. Tim did ask me to split the donation with Eric Upchurch, part as Council of Communities, and I declined to do that. So I just want to say that because I don't want Tim to get a backlash. But again, I feel like it's important to center those that are most disenfranchised, most vulnerable, for the purpose of not exploiting people and for the purpose of not aligning ourselves with the capitalism model of what's fair, who's deserving, and who's undeserving. So thank you again for reaching into your pocketbook and make up for all the people that left, okay? Y'all got it? Maybe? Okay. Well, thank you anyway. I appreciate all your donations.
And now, right at the end here, we're going to open it up for questions really briefly. And the theme of these questions is, what did we forget today? And this is going to inform us for moving forward. And I'm going to take Bob, and then Vicky, and then Mary Kay. Go ahead, quickly.
Okay, on the way over here, I listened to Dina Abdallah of Progressive Radio on XM. And they had a suggestion. Every time we take somebody to lunch, ask them if they're registered to vote. The first thing you ask them if they're registered to vote. We need to reclaim those 200,000 people who were not allowed to vote last time because the law went into effect in 2016, a ridiculous law. We've got to get them back on the registers, on the rolls, that make all the difference in the world. In Michigan, 85,000 people did not vote for president. That's ridiculous. We got Robert Mueller looking at things now. We might just have an honest vote this time.
And the law, of course, that Bob refers to is the voter ID law, which passed in Wisconsin, and which is an ALEC-generated law that's been passed in various states around the country. Wisconsin has one of the most egregious of those voter ID laws. Vicky.
My question is, what's going to happen with all this stuff up there and all the stuff here? Okay. I think people might like to know.
Charles.
All of the input people put in these sheets will be put together, and we're asking for your email address so you have it. When we come back to you, you'll be able to see the total input from all the people who are here tonight.
And it will also go into informing our conversations at the subsequent meetings in Stevens Point, here in Madison again, and in Milwaukee. Mary Kay.
We haven't heard what the Facebook page name is or how we would get to it. And can these different groups get our announcements on? Is there an administrator to do that? So that it will actually happen, I want to make sure that you all have the way to make a comment against the Back 40 mine wetland permit, and those comments are due by February 2nd, which is coming up real fast. But it's not something you could memorize. I need to get it to you in writing, and then it'll be the investors in that mine that will be the next hurdle to contact, and again, that needs to be in writing to you all.
Tim, the name and place of the Facebook page.
Building Unity. That's what we're doing. Building Unity is the Facebook name.
So it's facebook.com/buildingunity is for those of us that aren't on there all the time. Yes.
Just since we talked about electoral politics, I wanted to add that there's an election on February 20th. A lot of us have county supervisors coming up, and then, of course, the state Supreme Court, that's a primary. And then the general for the spring election is April 3rd. So I couldn't let the opportunity pass to share that there's our first chance to vote coming up 20 days. And you can go to myvote.wi.gov to register to vote and to get your sample ballot.
And on the point of this voter ID law, there are people that are organizing to take people to help them get their voter ID forms of ID that they need. So you can get involved with them through, I know, League of Women Voters and some
Voter ID Coalition.
Dane County Voter ID Coalition. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I've got these nifty little bumper stickers that are directed to our utility, which is 2/3 coal power today. It just asks them to have a 100% renewable plan. Pick them up on your way out the door if you're interested.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about Reverend Barber, he's very adept at changing sayings and hymns to accommodate both people who believe and people who don't. And he did the same thing at a conference at, Root Works Nations.
Net Roots Nation.
He came up with a whole saying that both sides are able to agree to and say together.
And by the way, I can't help but make a commercial announcement. We do have an interview with Reverend Barber coming out in the Progressive magazine, which will be available in about a week for the February-March edition. Okay, any last questions, comments? Thanks to our organizers. And final words from Tim Corden.
Thank you all. I just have some sad news. We really encouraged families to come here today, and you saw a lot of young families, young children. They came by bike, and the cargo bike was picked up and carried away. It was locked up. So if anybody saw anything, let me know. I'll try to help them recover that, but their cargo bike is gone. So sorry to end this on such a sad note. On a happy note, we are building unity. This has been a very beautiful event. And if you can stay around and help, please do. We have to turn this back into a church. So we'll be lining up chairs. We'll be washing dishes. We'll be folding tables. We'll be doing a lot of work. We will be here till at least 10 tonight. Anything you can do to help will be great. The kids' room is a mess. But we had a great time. If you need to go, just thank you for coming. And thank you to our panelists. Thank you, Norm. You did a beautiful job. We wanted you to leave your cards behind. We will get the information about a Facebook page, about a web page. If there are people out there that are good at doing web pages and want to help this unity movement get a web page going, talk to me. We have your contact information. We will send keep you in the loop on what we're doing. We'll be in Stevens Point in 2 weeks, February 10th. Let us know if you'd like to carpool up to Stevens Point. 2 weeks after that, we'll be back here, free supper again, followed by next steps. Thank you.